You're tuned into a recording of the Living While Leading podcast, which was originally live-streamed on LinkedIn. My guest today is Ann Jamieson, an IT executive at a Fortune 50 company. Stay tuned as we explore techniques to reframe setbacks as opportunities for growth and share insights on how resilience and adaptability can propel you forward on your leadership path. Find the full transcript for this discussion and other resources at livingwhileleading.com/41. You're listening to Living While Leading with your host, Sharon Ehrlich, where I help women IT executives gain more control over their careers and carve out time to care for themselves and family. I'm really excited today because we have a guest joining us from Singapore. We have Ann Jamieson with us, and today we're going to be talking about how to reframe setback, accept no, and get to yes. Ann, welcome to the podcast. Please introduce yourself to our guests and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Sharon, and thanks for having me. You said introduce yourselves. This week is, you know, we were talking earlier, it's a bit of a challenging week in terms of, you know, it's the end of a quarter, I'm about to go on leave, and so I do feel like if I could clone myself, it would be a much easier week. Welcome, everyone. My name is Ann Jamieson. I am coming live from Singapore tonight, and I am currently a senior director in Microsoft. However, you know, I have lots of other things that I enjoy doing other than working at points. I have a family. My husband is Jason and my two children, Thomas and Sarah George. Thomas is 13 and Sarah George is 10. So it's a pretty full life with two working parents, but it's a lot of fun and I enjoy it. Super excited about this topic, Sharon. So thanks for having me.
We're going to jump right into the questions, Ann, because I have so many things I want to ask you, and I'm sure that you're going to drop a lot of knowledge here. So the first question that we're going to start with is, can you discuss the importance of adaptability when faced with a setback, and perhaps share how that played a role in your career progression?
Sharon, adaptability is one of the most important parts of not only a setback, but in a career, a setback even more so, because adaptability also helps you learn resilience. And I do think in any type of setback or change, resilience can be super, super important. Let me take it from two aspects. From a personal aspect, adaptability can allow us to understand change, how to navigate change, and to also learn to be okay with change. In today's world, no matter what you're doing, the rate and pace of change just in life, in careers, in technology, due to all of, you know, the information that we have access to, adaptability to change is super, super important. So personally, it allows you to understand how you can navigate change. It also can, if you're leading people, it can also be super important to help instill confidence in that team or people that you're working with. So how you adapt, and if you have resilience towards that change, or even, you know, a no to the team or a setback for the team, whether it could be not making numbers, or if you have employee pulse surveys where you might have gotten some bad feedback, you know, how we adapt to that and how we take that as, okay, I'm going to learn from it versus as a setback. So it's a reframe of that is super, super important these days.
You make a really good point there, Anne. This notion of being okay with change, because it's just inevitable. It's something that we have to deal with all the time. I do want to ask you a question, though, because you did talk about being a leader and, you know, sort of coaching your team around adaptability and resilience. What do you do when you have someone on your team who you just recognize is burdened by change and they need some support in becoming more resilient and bouncing back and recovering and moving forward?
I mean, it happens all the time. Part of it is you have to build a trust with your team and also recognize that, you know, people deal with change differently. So whether you talk about it in a group about how people are feeling about maybe an adjustment that's being made in a company, or, you know, if somebody has to go on leave or whatever the change may be, and it's also important to create what I call a space or a container of, it's okay to not be okay with change. It's okay to bring out, and I will say this in a setback or anything that is happening, that it's okay to be vulnerable in this position and just be able to express in any way, whether it's in written, it's verbal, it's a chat, it's however anybody wants to deal with it, that it's okay to say, I'm afraid of change. From there, you want to make sure that there's a way for somebody to get underneath that. So it's taking a very unbiased or unjudgmental approach to, and also, you know, giving yourself some grace with a change that, you know, it's allow them to talk about it and just be okay. Let me just kind of summarize that because I think I said a lot there. It's about the trust that you build. It's about a container or a space or an environment that people feel okay to say, I'm worried about change. And then, you know, kind of getting under the details. There's questions that you can ask or ways to approach it. But it's important that we all understand that depending on, and it can be a point in time, right? You could have an employee that at one minute is okay with the change, but at the next minute, depending on what's going on in life personally and professionally, the change can be reacted to differently. And if it's a setback, then it's even more, you know, important to kind of get underneath what's causing that.
You said something really important there, Anne, about this container for change. I always tell my clients when I'm coaching, you're allowed to feel your feelings. Yeah. We are allowed to feel our feelings. And then there's a moment in time where you have to say, okay, I felt them. And now what is the next step? What am I doing to move on? How can I examine this situation and understand where the lessons are? What can I take to move forward, whatever forward may mean in the context of that experience? I want to talk to you about staying motivated, because change is inevitable, as we know. And sometimes change can be a setback. It can be a no to something that we really wanted. If that happens to you, what do you recommend people do in the context of having a professional setback?
For me personally, this is where I feel like mentoring, networks, trusted advisors really, really play a great role. Finding someone that you can actually, again, just what you said about feel the way you feel, but express that to somebody that, again, I go back to this word trust, whether it's an advisor, whether it's a mentor, whether it's someone in your network. I stay motivated because I reach out to people when I'm feeling set back, or if I have a no, bounce that off them, because it gives me a different perspective. I think that those people are really, really important in that kind of time. I also stay motivated. I'm an avid exerciser. So I think if we look at the mental and the physical part of a setback, you know, mental, emotional, physical, I oftentimes will stay motivated in terms of, okay, I'm just going to take a step back because it's allow it to land and go exercise or go, you know, do something fun that's physical to get all that kind of pent up energy out and then come back to it. A third way is I will go figure out something that I want to learn. I'll take a break and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go research this topic, something that is not, doesn't have anything to do with my job or the setback. It just takes my mind to a different place. And then I can kind of reframe things from a perspective of, okay, I've just done something that I want to do that is, maybe it's not mentally challenging, but I've just researched something, a topic that I really love, and then I'll come back to it. So I think that's kind of how I stay motivated. I also try not to let one setback determine how I'm going to go forward always. It is just one thing. And there could be a myriad of reasons why that happens.
And it doesn't define you, right? It's a singular moment in time, as we were talking about earlier. So sometimes context is really important. And that can be difficult when you're in the middle of it, because you're so close to it and you have these emotions and expectations and maybe even expectations of other people. So it's just not about you. Now, I want to ask you a question about balancing the determination to turn a no into a yes. And when do you know that you should just move on, you know, just drop it, stop fighting the fight and just move on?
Number one, if you get the first no or a first setback or a rejection or, you know, whatever you want to think about it. I evaluate, why do I want to get to yes so badly? That's my first question. Why am I taking this no so badly or to heart? And why do I really want to get to a yes? So that's my first thing that I would look at. The second thing I would look at then is, if it was no once, is there another route to yes? So is there another path? Are there other people that I need to have briefed or have helped me get there? And is it worth it? And what's the ultimate outcome in terms of getting to yes? And also being convicted to ask why it was a no to begin with. Depends on the circumstances or who said no. Are they open to telling you why no? Is there an opportunity to get to yes? And then just really evaluating the why. Like, why is it so important? I will tell you that too, if I am really convicted about something and it should be a yes, then I try to find a way to get there, whether it's a different path, a different person, a different perspective. I think my limit is 3 times. If I'm super convicted about it, then I will try to get to yes. But I think it's super important to understand individually why that's so important and then move forward from that space.
The why, you know, this 3-letter word that really takes a lot to peel back, to understand why am I so fixed on this? Why does this need to happen for me to feel like my career is going on the right track? Which I think is really important. And sometimes you can't get to the why by yourself. Sometimes you do need those mentors, sponsors, coaches like me, or trusted advisors, and have a sparring partner, because sometimes it's very difficult to be real with yourself when you're in the middle of that sort of rejection or, you know, setback in the career. And have you ever experienced a no that made you question the direction of your career or the values of your organization? And how did you handle that moment of truth?
Actually, recently, to be honest, I've had this. All cards on the table, right? It was a very difficult conversation. I did question, after all the hard work, after all the setup to, you know, be moving forward, career progression that I had done previously, I was like, ooh, hang on a minute. Is this really the place that I need to be? Even though, you know, I love my job, I love my team, it was just, I did feel like it was a massive setback. I have learned in my career not to react immediately. Again, let things land, and that comes from experience. And then try to peel back the why. And oftentimes, it's not because of you personally, and it's not a performance piece. It could be something politically that's going on in the business. It could be a change of leadership. It could be those conversations that you were having before have changed because a leadership change happened. I had to take, you know, stock and evaluation and understand, okay, this is not going to be my only opportunity to move forward. I trusted myself. I trust in my capabilities. And actually, it allowed me to begin to look more broadly at new roles, at new opportunities. And when there's a setback, I'm always in learner mode. I kick into hyper learner mode. Why did it happen? Is there an area of opportunity for me to change? And or is there a broader opportunity externally, meaning outside of the current situation, that can then lead to a better opportunity that's more aligned to where I want to go to begin with? It wasn't necessarily about title. It wasn't necessarily about a bigger team or any of those types of things. I think it's really, really important, I've experienced, to, number one, let things land. Don't overreact. Don't get angry, because then that can create resentment. But really kind of take stock in, what else can I do and why? Because it could, like I said, it could be a leadership change. It could be politics. It could be other deck chairs or other pieces needed to move. And it just was not the right time. I used my network and I used my trusted advisors to advise. But it also was being super, super vulnerable about how I was feeling and then calmly and rationally working through that. And back to your point of, it's okay to feel the way you feel. It's just how we react to it and how we begin to, again, reframe it to say, okay, this is not where I wanted it to be. It's not a good thing for me right now, but I'm going to channel my energy into, you know, the next time or the next opportunity that I can take on.
Those are some wise words there, Anne. You're probably familiar with the phenomenon that's going on now where there is a lot of organizations are experiencing retention problems where employees become frustrated for one reason or another, mostly for how their careers are progressing, and they just sort of throw in the towel and they walk away. Mm. What words of advice would you give to our younger listeners here who probably are confronted with a career path that's not the one that they actually imagined? Maybe it's not tracking as fast as they thought that it would. It's not taking them exactly where they want to be, but the timeline they want to see it. What advice would you give them to react as opposed to just throwing in the towel and walking away?
I always give this advice to anyone that, you know, I either mentor or I'm talking to, it's on my team, or somebody who comes to ask me about career development and progression. Number one, I think you got to understand, why do you think you should be progressing faster? Like, what are the criteria in terms of progression? In our head, sometimes we feel like it should be progressing faster, but why is it not, right? So you have to be real with yourself. Then figure out where you want to go and go ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. I've always had that mantra. Be prepared that it may not come to you at that moment, but never give up asking for what you want. It's that conviction. One of my really great mentors said, you can't be the princess all the time, Anne. You've got to kiss some frogs, meaning you're not always going to be tapped for your next role. Sometimes you're going to have to go out there and seek it. So if somebody is not giving you that opportunity, be convicted. Understand where you want to go, and then go ask, keep asking. It's that really kind of self-actualization of, where did you really think you were going to be at this point in time? Why do you feel like it's not moving as fast as you want? And then if you can answer those and satisfy those, go find somebody that will give you that opportunity. But be very clear as to why it's you. Why you? Why give you that opportunity? So when you come to ask for it, it's very clear why you should have it.
There is a degree of preparation one needs to take in order to have that conversation, isn't there? You just can't, you know, kick in the office door and say, hey, I want to talk to you because I need to be here and I want to understand how I get there.
And it's not just, okay, I'm 2 years in a role, I've learned everything, I'm ready to go, or I should be promoted, or I should be moving on. Timing happens not only in our own time, but the time that the company or the person that's hiring is ready to go to. So timing plays, you know, a critical element.
Can we talk about the positive side of no's? Because not all no's are bad. Can we share a time when you had a no that led you to a better opportunity? And how did you navigate that transition?
I was in a position that I was recommending a new position, and this is a previous, not my current role, but I could very, very clearly see the need for customer success, how we could form that group, why that was important. And I did a pitch that said, we need this team, we need to have these people in this position because it's going to be good for our customers. And in particular, as we look long-term, where technology was going, where the cloud was going, where AI was going at the time, I could just so see it so clearly. And I went and did this pitch to one of our upper level execs. And, you know, that upper level exec said, well, we don't have that position. And I was like, so you're telling me no to a great opportunity to create a great team for our customers because we don't have that position. And for me, that was a setback because that's the path that I wanted to be on. And I was so clear that it was the right thing to do. I was in line for, you know, a vice presidency position, and I was not going to go for it because I thought, if this group cannot see my vision and can't see how this can really help the company, I don't want to really be with that company anymore. And I can't sign up for an upper level executive position because of that. I was like, oh no, what do I do now? Like, this was my path. This is what I was going on. And back to the question before, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that I should be moving into this role. I had a lot of emotion around that. And had I said, okay, I'm not aligned to where the company's going in the strategy, yes, I could have pursued the vice presidency and kept going, but I didn't. And then all of a sudden, my opportunity came up to go to Microsoft, and I've never looked back. And that was even after I said it was a title change. it did feel like at the time what was a step backwards, but in retrospect, it was like 10 steps forward because I'm so aligned to the culture where the company is going, the way that Microsoft looks at a growth mindset. That no allowed me to open my eyes to being willing to change companies and all. And I was on a path, like I was truly, truly on this trajectory. But that one simple no changed my career full stop for the better, much for the better. Even though at the time I was like, are you kidding me? Like you can't see this clearly? Because it was so clear to me. That's when a no became a career changer.
And can we talk about advice you would give to your younger self? This is a question that we hear very often. And now that you have the benefit of all of this lived experience and so much of a career behind you, but still a lot of career ahead of you, what would you tell your younger self?
Number one, don't worry so much. Number two, trust the process and align yourself with people that you trust, trusted advisors, and you have to nurture those relationships. Like it's not just a one-way ticket. It's really important to reach out to your network, build your network, give back to your network, and that it doesn't have to be a linear path. You may take a sideways step, you may take a step up, you may take a step backwards, but if you're learning something and you're growing and you're building skill that's applicable across areas that you like, then that's a good thing. I also think I would tell my younger self, be passionate. No matter what you're doing, if you stop being passionate about it, then it's time to change and really evaluate what that change looks like. My younger self, I was a perfectionist. It was really hard for me to not have everything perfect and lined up and here's my next role and step one, step two, step three versus really having a growth mindset and looking at all angles. And again, building those trusted advisors and aligning yourself to that. And also, you're going to get no. There's going to be no's along the way. And those are the learning, those are the lifelong learning lessons that can take you forward. And back to our original question, building adaptability, building resilience. I would just tap myself on the shoulder and say, you know what? It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Don't worry.
I think one piece of advice I would give my younger self is not to take it all so seriously. Every single decision just seems so consequential that it took some of the joy I should have been having with things. And I'm not saying that you should take your career lightly. But on the other hand, not every single moment is consequential and is going to change your life that significantly.
No decision in a career perspective is forever. You can make a change if you want.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that you mentioned with relation to the mentors and the sponsors and the trusted advisors. And you said that's a two-way street. I think it's worth highlighting that those relationships have to be cultivated. And it's a long game and it's a give and take sort of game. Do you want to add anything else to that? Because I think this is a really important point.
Well, it's just like any relationship, whether it's a mentor, a mentee, a trusted advisor, you know, someone that's in the office that you might, you know, be having a conversation with. It is really, really important to continue to cultivate or to check in. Right? It doesn't even have to be a long conversation. Hey, how are you? I'm executive coach when I first joined Microsoft, and I still talk to her. It's not every day, but I want that relationship to just continue longer term. So it doesn't have to be a long conversation. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be a career conversation. It can just be, hi, how are you? Just checking in. But you do have to cultivate it. That cultivation can't be forced as well. Like I think people say, go find a mentor, go find an advisor, go find, you know, somebody to talk to. It's just like any other relationship in your life. You've got to trust the person. There has to be, I will say, a chemistry. You have to get along. You have to be aligned. But that, as you say, it takes cultivation in a big way. Also, building a network, it is important that you give back as much as you get. So it is a feedback and forth, and it's you pay into it as much as you take out of it. And that's, you know, it's important to keep that equilibrium. And also, I find it super rewarding if I can take something from the network as well as give back. And there will be always times that I may need to give more at a specific point and I will take more at a specific point. It takes work and you have to work at it. and set aside time, even if it's just in a diary for the day. Hey, drop a quick email to say hi to this person. Or, you know what, I haven't caught up with them for a long time. I was just talking about this over the weekend. I have a really amazing mentor that I haven't talked to in ages. He retired, and I do need to reach out, and for no other reason, just to say hi and check in.
I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. We are actually out of time. So wow. I want to thank everybody for joining us live. And for those who are listening to the replay next week, I'm thanking you in advance. And you've been an amazing guest. I think that you have said so much. And this was really a valuable mentoring session for everybody who has listened and who will listen. Please feel free to connect with me and Anne on LinkedIn. So again, thank you everybody for tuning in, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for listening today. This is your time. Give yourself permission to reclaim what's important to you and be who you want to be. If you're getting value from this podcast, please subscribe, share it, or write a review. And connect with me on livingwhileleading.com or on LinkedIn. And don't forget to tune in next week.